things which will destroy a family and a home, and that is pride. And a man who has so much pride that he won't listen to anything, and your wife can be a good counselor, can help you with a lot. And the hardest thing for a man to say is, honey, you're right. Just understand that. If you say something to your husband and he doesn't kind of say anything, and he's kind of thinking about this, he's received it. Back off. He's received it. And will do something about it. So a man has a lot of hard work to do. And to be a husband is harder than being a wife from a man's point of view. And being a wife is harder than being a husband from a woman's point of view, which means that you both have tough jobs, right? So don't get in and do any comparing. Now, let's get in. We'll talk some things about the women. Now's your turn. Let's go back to Ephesians 5 again. Ephesians 5. And if you've been having difficulties with husband and wife and being able to accomplish these things, what you need to do is have an aunt or an uncle or whatever, babysit the kids for a day, and you plan the day, and both of you sit down and talk about it without getting mad. Make an agreement first before you sit down and talk about it that I won't get mad and I won't get frustrated and I won't get up and walk out. Let's talk about it. Okay? Because a woman is able to achieve a whole lot more by submitting to her husband than she is by browbeating him. That's just a fact. If you're loving and kind and submissive, your husband is just going to fall all over himself to please you. And isn't that what you want? Yes. See, don't try and take control. Help him with the family. You are to be a help, suitable, compatible. Now it says here, verse 22 of Ephesians 5, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, if you think you ought to, if you believe it is right. Doesn't say that, does it? No. What does it say? As unto the Lord. Now, one thing for sure, you're not going to argue against Christ, are you? Now, that doesn't mean you become a non-person. Please understand, your husband has to submit to his boss, doesn't he not? Does he not have to submit? Yes, he does. So God is not asking you to do something that your husband does not do. And even if he has his own business, what does he have to do? He has to submit to his customers, does he not? And if he doesn't, he won't have a business, will he? No, he won't. You try running a restaurant and you send out any old kind of eggs for breakfast that a person orders, burned, hard, runny or soft, raw or whatever. And a customer is going to say, hey, I'm never coming back here again. So men are also in subjection. I think somehow women tend to think that men don't have to submit to anything. Yes, they do. So, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Because he has made him responsible. He is the head by creation. You, in entering into marriage, have entered into a created relationship that God has created. Now let's continue on down here concerning the wife. Let's come over here to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter again. And we have found that this principle is true within what we've been doing with the Christian Biblical Church of God, which is this. How many wives and husbands have been offended because of the church? And they could see things in the church that maybe you couldn't see. Okay, so let's continue on here with this. That we have seen that when the husband and wife who's been in the church began to understand about the love of God and the grace of God and really began to apply that in their lives, that lo and behold, we've had a lot of baptisms of formerly unconverted husbands and unconverted wives. So you see, this principle here in 1 Peter 3 works and is very important. Let's turn there, 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, not preaching to them, be won by the conduct of the wives. See, because a man will just fall all over himself to please his wife if she's loving, if she's kind, if she is not picking at him, nagging at him, and all of these things. And if you really understand that, and here's another thing in marriage that is important to do. Not only in having communication, but there are times when it's very difficult to really get the point across. Or maybe there's an antagonism. This will take place on the job or at home or in the family, and it is this. Is that you pray and ask God to put it in the mind of the person the correct and proper thing that needs to be done. So when they come to the knowledge of it themselves, because God has answered that prayer, which he will, then it comes from within them rather than badgered by the husband from without or henpecked by the wife from without. It comes from within, and then it is from the heart. And that works a whole lot better. That's why husbands and wives should pray together. And don't use prayer to beat each other up. Oh, God, make my wife submissive. You know, there she is. Boy, I've been trying so hard, you know. Hey. God, make my husband love me. Why are you so unloving? Hey. Use the prayers and the time together to ask God to help you to grow together in love, because that's very, very important. That's the only way the marriage is going to work. You're always going to have stress that'll come along. It'll be there. You're always going to have trials which will come along. They will be there. You're always going to have your ups and your downs. They will always be there. But you have to live through this and love each other through thick and thin. So let it be, wives, by the conduct, you see. While they behold your chaste conduct coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel. And there are some women who are so worried about their looks that they lose their personality. Don't do that. Your personality is very, very of primary importance. And some women get so vain that they almost go into hysterics when at 30 they see the first little lines up in the corner of their eyes. Well, you see, if you have a loving heart, it doesn't matter if you have wrinkles all over your face and you're 90 years old. Because love is what is important. Because you can take the most beautiful woman in the world and she can be the snippiest snittiest thing in the world. You can take the most handsome man and he can be the obnoxious, most proud, fist bashing kind of person that you would ever want. You see. So let it be from the heart, from both sides. See? But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corrupted, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. And after this manner, in the old time, the women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement or intimidation. So you're not to be intimidated. This is not asking you to become a non-person. This is asking you to become a complete woman in Christ. And that's what's important. Now, let's talk about some accomplishments that a woman can do. Let's go to Proverbs 31. God does not expect you to be mindless, brainless, submissive, dodos, with no backbone, no spine, or no brain. And that's what the women's lib make everything out to be for a woman who submits to her husband. Well, there ain't any man going to tell me what to do. Well, the Lord was a man, and he's going to tell us what to do, right? Okay, Proverbs 31. Now notice the ability. And God praises this. Can a woman own her own business? Sure. In her own business, does she have charge over if there are any men working for her? But of course she does. Nothing wrong with that. There are some women who have great abilities, and as long as they have taken care of their children, and I would basically say this, do not neglect your children for the sake of a career, because your career is going to kill you in the end, and your children will hate you for it. So think about that before you do it, because no career is worth any giving up or destroying any child. But you can have careers. Now notice, Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Because, see, they love each other and they are bound together in this marriage estate. He can trust in her to do whatever she needs to do, so that he shall have no need of spoil. In other words, she's going to properly take care of the house and everything that is done. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That is a true godly woman. And she'll work. She seeks wool and flax. In other words, that's why women love the shop. They love to shop. And my saying is, go shop. See? Do well. My wife can find bargains that are unreal. She can come home with $100 items that she's had her eye on for days and weeks, and finally gets down to about $12, and she buys it. See? Now, I don't have the patience, nor do I go around and look at all these little tags. But she does. When we had tough times, she provided the clothes for the children by go-buying, and she bought, I would say we paid for an equivalent of $1,000 worth of clothing and things like that, maybe $200, which we had to because we were strapped. And she works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, and brings her food from afar. She rises up also while it is yet night, and gives food or meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. Now that takes brains. See? It takes understanding. It takes ability. So that's why when God says submit to your husband, he's not asking you to give up your personality. He's asking you to find it. Just the opposite the way the world thinks, you see. Boy, notice that. Yeah, I'd like my wife to go out and buy me a field and we could make a profit on it. I'd tell her, go buy. Yes. And with the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She's no little weak whippersnapper that is incapable of doing nothing. She preserves, she perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes out not by night. In other words, she's up early and stays up late. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, so she's concerned with us. Look at all these activities. And this is a woman who is so submissive to her husband that her husband trusts her in everything. See, because what that does is that brings you freedom. Whereas the other brings you rebellion. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She takes care of them, provides for the winter, makes sure that the socks are there, the underwear is there, you know, and all that sort of thing. You don't want to have long johns in the drawer in the summer, and you don't want to have summer briefs in the drawer in the winter. See, takes care of that. She makes herself a covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now, that's pretty expensive stuff, isn't it? Yes, it is. Now, here's a woman with ability. And this shows that God is not trying to put women down. But she still is in submission to her husband, isn't she? Yes, she is. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom because she's educated. She's trained herself. She understands what she is doing. You see, so the picture that the feminazis picture or the overlord religionist picture of women is just completely wrong. And too many of us have been influenced by that, both men and women. And too many men have given in to their wives because they don't want to be overbearing. And too many wives have been overbearing and picky and bitter against their husbands, and because they have been affected by the world and don't understand the real love of God that they need in their marriage to do it. See? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the way of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her because she does all these things and has ability and yet in submission to him. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you have excelled them all. So when your wife does good, just like you want a good word, just like you want your wife to say, honey, well, that was a good job. I appreciate it. Well, you do the same to your wife because she's worked just as hard as you and worked her fingers to the bone to provide and do the things and make the meal, take care of the home or whatever it may be. You see, in this way, then, you become one. This way, then, the two become one instead of having a partnership where you're always fighting and you're always trying to move that 50-yard line. You know, no, it's over here. No, it's over here, you see. You all become one. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. So, boy, that's really talking about a woman of great ability and intelligence and things like this. So that's why, go ahead and improve your knowledge and understanding on how to be a wife, how to be a mother, how to cook good, nutritious meals at home. I guarantee you one thing, that if you, with your children, you stay home and take care of the children and you learn to do all things in a very economic way, about the only amount that you would make if you deserted your children and went out to have a job would be about $2 an hour. Because you got to pay for the babysitter, you got to pay for the food that you can't cook because you have to go buy it cooked, because you don't have the time at home, stay there and do it. You don't have the time to go shop to do it, and all of those things. And all of those women who are out there striving and working and killing themselves and exhausting themselves with jobs and trying to have a family and children and palm them off to daycare centers, it just doesn't work. See, if you apply this kind of thing to it, then you will see that it works wonderfully, and God's way is good, and he does expect you to have ability. Now, let's look at some other things concerning women here in the book of Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. Let's pick it up in verse 13. Proverbs 9 and verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple. She knows nothing. Now, God doesn't want women to be that way. Yet the feminazis picture that if you submit to your husband, that's the way you'll become. That's not true. For she sits at the door of her house and on a seat in the high places. And then it talks about, you know, how she handles her life and so forth. Let's come to chapter 11 and verse 16. Chapter 11 and verse 16. A gracious woman retains honor. Boy, that's something. Think of that. A gracious woman retains honor. You know, wouldn't it be fine if every time company came in the house, your husband say, boy, you know, I've got the greatest wife in the world. And look at what she has done. How good would you feel about that? Well, you would, because you love each other, right? Okay, verse 22. Verse 22. As a jewel of gold is in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. So you have to have manners and all of that. You see, and you've seen those. Those are the kind that meet their husbands at the door with a rolling pin. They have no discretion. See? And instead of being wives, they go around the house as if they're M16 tanks, you know. And just destroy everything in the path. Chapter 12 and verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she makes it, that makes a shame is his rottenness of his bones, because he's going to eat his heart out because of it, because he has feelings. Chapter 14 and verse 1. Every wise woman builds her house. Boy, you learn to do things, and you learn to make with what you have, and it's amazing. I'm amazed what my wife can do with things. And she just does a fantastic job with them. Now, she still has her faults. I have my faults. And every once in a while, we have a little collision with it. See? Well, that'll happen. See? But there's one proverb, we'll see it here, not proverb, but it is in Ephesians 4. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So if you have a fight, which you'll have, you know, if you get married and everything is perfect and wonderful and love, 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 and everything is great, 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 and then lo and behold, somewhere down the road, something happens and you have a fight. And you wonder, my, what? How did that happen? See? Well, it happened because you're still carnal. It happened because you made a mistake. It's not the end of the earth. Your marriage has not dissolved. God has not disappeared. But you just have some things to overcome. That's all. So don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And sit there and let it boil and stew and ruin your sleep, you know, and toss and turn. And then you wake up the next morning, both of you more grouchy for the husband and the wife more snitty than before, you know, and then you go through another day of it. I mean, do you love strife and turmoil? Why have 2 days of a fight or 3 days or a month, you know, or slam doors and all this sort of thing, you know? If people go through that. You know what I'm talking about. I know I'm not talking to perfect people because God calls a weak, doesn't he? Eh? Okay. And in that, I'm not trying to put you down in it. Please understand. I'm just saying that when these things occur, then have some understanding. And if they don't occur and you have a good, loving relationship, boy, tell us. Give us the information. We need it. So a woman builds her house. Chapter 18 and verse 22. Chapter 18 and verse 22. Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. So that's for the wife and that's for the husband. It works both ways. You're working together with it. Now, chapter 21 and verse 9. Chapter 21 and verse 9. Now, let me tell you something about being snitty. Chapter 21 and verse 9. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And there's another proverb which says, the continual drippings of a wife. And you get the feeling of like the raindrop that's coming down the drain that goes plink, 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 and your nerves become unfrayed. Don't do that. See? Spare yourself the bitter attitude from having to do it, and spare your husband the grief of having to put up with it. Because in either case, it accomplishes nothing, does it? If you want him to love you and be kind to you, then you return and reciprocate in the same way. Now let's come to something which is going to... It's a physical thing. And it can be remedied over a very short period of time. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And here again, Paul brought out many of these things. 1 Corinthians 11. See, because they've had the same problems in marriage, beginning with the difficulties that Adam and Eve had. See? And so all the good things that you go through, or all of the difficult things you go through, everyone else somewhere, sometime, has experienced it. So they did back in the church at Corinth. So here in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is bringing the things out that they really are, and he's upholding the word of God, and he says, verse 1, be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I've delivered them to you. But I would have you know, and that means understand, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God, and that's the way God has placed it. And as we have shown, that is not a hierarchy. When we have a marriage, it is a created relationship. When we are called into the church, it is a spiritual created relationship between God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the individual that God has called, based on the love of God. Now then, he says here, verse 4, every man praying or prophesying. Now, prophesying means inspired speaking in most cases. In some minority of cases, it means prophesying of events to take place. Having his head covered dishonors his head, who is Christ. But every woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered dishonors her head, who is her husband. Now, when does a woman pray and when does she prophesy? Well, I've searched the Bible, and the only place I can find that women in a community setting like a church assembly is praying or prophesying is when she is singing, such as Deborah, such as Samuel's mother, such as Miriam, and who is the sister of Moses. Never are they in the pulpit preaching. Because Paul said he does not allow a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man. That has to do with the affairs of the church and teaching. Dishonors her head, for it is even all as if she were shaven. Now, you know today that is a style that is coming in. Women who shave their heads. I got on the plane to go to Denton for the marriage, and there was a woman who was a stewardess, and she must have been in her 50s, and now they keep them so they can retire, and she had a crew cut. I kid you not, she had a crew cut, and I almost fell over my briefcase. I couldn't believe it. So then I began watching some of the styles and difficulties that women have and the hairstyles that they have, and it is becoming a style to have really short hair. And just coming up here on the trip, I just kind of took a survey. 6 out of 10 women had short hair. And a lot of them were the older women. Cut real short. Now, there's one saving grace. It is not a sin unto death. One. Number two, it'll grow. So you can blame your hairdresser. Your hairdresser has sabotaged your hair. Okay? But if you truly want to do the will of God, which I started out, this is the one little one that a lot of women overlook. See? Now, please understand, I'm not going around and I am not picking on women and I'm not measuring hair length. If you can't figure out what is long enough for you, then I can't help you. It would be this. If it looks too short, chances are it is. And if on a man it looks too long, chances are it is. Okay? Now, for a man indeed ought not cover his head, that is, with long hair, we'll see here in a minute. And there are more and more men with long hair. You know, I thought we got rid of that when we finally got rid of the hippies, but now it's all coming back again, and they're all becoming hippies again. As he is ahead, and as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man by virtue of creation. Neither was the man created without the woman, created for the woman rather, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the women to have power on their head because of the angels, and that is the power of the blessing of God. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, and neither is the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, because all men from Adam on were born from their mothers. Okay, so he's making sure he's not putting down anybody, but just clarifying the point here. But all things are of God. Verse 13, judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? And that means, we'll see here in just a minute, that she is to have hair sufficiently long enough to cover her. Does not even nature itself teach that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Conversely, if a woman have short hair, it is a shame unto her. It is not a gross sin, but it is one of those things. Do you want to do the things that please God? Do you want to do the will of God? And do you esteem all of the precepts of God to be correct and right altogether? If you do, you shall have no hang-up with it, right? And I have noticed this for quite a while. I haven't said anything, but in seeing the style coming out, we'll just say that all of the hairdressers for the women are sabotaging your hair. Let it grow if it's short. Okay? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him, but if a woman have long hair, it is to her glory, for her hair is given to her for a covering. So we see that with this, that the hair for a woman is to be long. God wants a distinction between men and women, because when the distinction of the sexes is missing, then you are subtly setting the groundwork for those things which will bring an unequal equality. Now, what do I mean by that? How can you have an unequal equality? Meaning that you are giving the message that men and women are equal, and you create an unequal society by doing that, And you also teach children to then be accepting somewhere in the generation down the line, as it has evolved, of homosexuality such as we have today. So it's very important that men and women follow those things and do those things, because it is pleasing to God. Now let's come back here to 1 John, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and then we'll go to 1 John, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4, okay? And let's take these things then which apply to the marriage estate, and we can do this, okay? Let's come here to verse 22. Verse 22, put off concerning the former conduct of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So then he gives all of these admonitions. Verse 25, don't lie to each other. Verse 26, don't be angry with each other and hold your anger in sin. Don't let the wrath go down. The sun go down on your wrath. No, verse 29, no corrupt communication, let it proceed out of your mouth. And men are guilty of that quite extensively. And I know some that need to clean up their communication. But do that which is good. Verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And if we're doing things contrary to God, we're grieving the Holy Spirit, are we not? Yes. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And that's how to run your marriages. These are the overall principles. You have to fill in all the details. Husbands and wives, you just need to sit down and say, okay, let's bite the bullet and sit down and let's have a good loving session here. Let's not be beating up on each other. Let's not accuse each other. Let's not bring up things of the past. Well, if you do this, I'll do this. Well, if you do that, I'll do this. You see. No, love each other, submit to each other, submit to God. And let's come here to 1 John, the fourth chapter, and let's see why that's so important. And I'll tell you what, this will make child rearing a whole lot easier too. Because your children know when you have strife and contention, and your children know when there's not the love that ought to be there, and it does affect them. And it will affect their attitudes. And sometimes if it continues through the whole life of your children while they're growing up and they leave home, they are going to have an unbalanced concept of what marriage should be. And so now then they have a problem to overcome, which has been caused because of the strained family relations. Now let's pick it up here in verse 16. For we have known and believed that love, the love that God has to us. God is love. And the one who is dwelling in God is dwelling in love, is dwelling in God. Try and make your marriages have more of the love of God by you growing in the love of God for the husband and loving your wife and your wife and loving the husband and mothers and fathers to the children and the children to the mothers and the fathers. For herein is love made perfect. So it's something you have to work at your whole life. And the way that it's made perfect is you go through disappointments and you learn and you grow and you overcome. And those things can be taken care of that way and overcome with love. Now notice verse 18. There is no fear in love. You don't need to have a overhanding, hard, heavy hand of being overbearing toward your wife and your family. Because you create fear and intimidation, and that is not love. Perfect love is casting out fear, because fear has torment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he loved us first. Now here is the key. If any man say, I love God, and hate his brother or his wife or her husband or her children or his children, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother or his wife or his or her husband or their children, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And so what we need to do to overcome the problems that we have in marriage is to let the love of God be that cornerstone of everything that we build on.
The Canadian and overseas addresses for the Christian Biblical Church of God are as follows. Canada, Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2. Australia, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 30, Glen Huntly, Australia, 3163. New Zealand, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 552, Albany, Auckland, 1331, New Zealand. Republic of South Africa, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 21279, Hilda Kruin, H-E-L-D-E-R-K-R-U-I-N, 1733, Republic of South Africa. United Kingdom, Christian Biblical Church of God,
Post Office Box 39, Yelverton, Devon, P.O. 20, 6XX, United Kingdom.